Our scripture reading tonight is taken from God's Word in John chapter 13 at verse 31, and we will read into chapter 14, verse 11. And the passage that Ryan picked for his confession of faith are the well-known words of verse 6 of chapter 14. Reading the Holy Scriptures in John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verse 31. This is Thursday evening in the upper room. And Jesus has just sent Judas Iscariot, the traitor, out. "That thou doest," he said to him, verse 27, "do quickly." At verse 31, "Therefore, when he was gone out," Judas was gone out, "Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. We'll stop there tonight, asking the Holy Spirit to open it to our understanding. And Ryan has chosen verse 6. He chose it because this gospel lives in his heart, the good news that salvation is to be found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a desire to confess that tonight. He has a desire to live according to this tonight. And he also has a desire that this gospel of his Savior be preached on his confession of faith. So our text is, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many truths in the Bible that are not hard to understand, but they are hard to swallow. And the reason is that these truths are offensive to man's pride, to our pride too, apart from grace. The reason is that these truths of the Bible give glory to God alone. And they teach that you and I are sinners in desperate need of God's grace alone. And it's very striking that the chief statements in the Bible that become so offensive were spoken by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They are known as the hard sayings of Christ. Jesus would even say it in his gospel narratives, "This is an hard saying that I'm telling you." And this is one of them. Apart from God's grace, this is a hard saying. There is no ambiguity. There's no unclarity in what he says here. It is very understandable. He says that he and he alone is the only way to heaven. He is saying that all salvation is in him alone. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is denying that anyone can go to the Father but by him. He is saying that all other religions, and even a Christian religion which would try to add to Jesus Christ, are false, are not true. There is no other path. There is no other person. There are not our works, not the works that we perform even as a child of God, though we perform them. We want to perform them. We must perform them. Yet they do not merit our way to God. That no one can come to the Father but by him. When grace has come into our hearts to show us that we are a desperately needy sinner, there are no more sweet, wonderful, comforting words than these words of Jesus. God must give us to see ourselves as a sinner in need of these words. And we pray then that the Holy Spirit will convict us, each one of us personally, of this truth of Jesus Christ, and that this gospel of his grace may hold the sinner of our hearts and of our lives. The speaker of these words is very plainly Jesus Christ. The place where he is speaking the words of our text is in the upper room on Thursday night, just before his cross. The audience to whom he is speaking them are the 11 disciples. Judas has gone out. Jesus, after 3 years of ministry, has gathered his 12 disciples together and has washed their feet in that upper room. He has told them that one of them would betray him. And then he tells them that he will soon be leaving them and they cannot follow him now. Verse 33 is the words that catch the disciples' attention and mind. He says to them, "Little children, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. Even so, I say this to you now." That was a very dramatic statement of Jesus. He says that I'm going to be separated from you, and you cannot go where I am going to go now. You cannot come with me in the way that I go. I must go there alone. And Peter responds, "Lord, where are you going? And why can't we follow you?" And the Lord repeats it. "You cannot follow me now, Peter." Peter insists, "Lord, there's nothing that's going to ever separate me from you. I'll die for you." And the Lord predicts that he will deny him in that night. The Lord is speaking of the fact that he, the Son of God, is going to go the way of the cross, crucified on a cross, 3 days in a grave, then rise again the first day from the dead, and then ascend up into heaven. That's what he means. I go, and you cannot come with me now. You can't come with me at this moment. That, of course, shook them, because they had always lived right under his shadow. And so he comforts them. Verses 1 and 2 and 3, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to my Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. It's heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then he says in verse 3, if I go there, I will personally return and take you to that place. So children, God is telling us, Jesus is telling us that heaven is a real place. It's an intimate place of fellowship. It's home. It's Father's house. It's the place of perfect love. It's the place of eternal joy. It's not imaginary. Jesus went there as the risen Lord Jesus. And Jesus is going to bring us there by his grace. And so he says to them, whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. But Thomas, who we call Doubting Thomas, says to him, really, and for all of the disciples, we don't know where you're going. You're speaking in riddles. And how can we know? To which Jesus responds, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. I'm going to the Father, but by me. Jesus is the only way to the Father, to salvation, to heaven, to peace. Let's see that he is that because he is the way, that is, he reconciles us to the Father. He is the truth. He reveals the Father to us. And he is the life. He resurrects us in his life so that we may have fellowship with the Father. So first of all, Jesus is telling us he's the only way to God. You cannot be reconciled. No one can be reconciled to God. Nobody can be embraced. Nobody can be received at the end into heaven. No one can know him and his love now, but only through and because of Jesus. He states it emphatically. I am not a way. He's not saying, well, there's actually this embrace of God, this reconciliation with God is actually at the middle of a crossroads. You can get there through various paths. No, not a way. I am the way. And then he makes it abundantly clear, no one comes to the Father but by me. That is, no one enters into his house. No one enters into his embrace. No one is reconciled. No one is in his arms except through Jesus Christ. And if one is not in his arms, then he is in his wrath and will be lost to hell. Our works cannot bring us there. Other people can't bring us there. Rituals, mere outward rituals, baptism and the Lord's Supper, they can't bring us there. They're very important for the Christian life, but they can't bring us there. Our parents can't bring us there. That you might say of yourself, I'm a decent guy. I've been faithful to my wife. I'm better than most people I meet. You may be saying that to yourself secretly. That does not bring you there. That we are orthodox, that we know orthodox truth, that your mind understands Reformed biblical truths, that does not bring you there. It is absolute. It is exclusive. He is the way. It is only by union to Jesus Christ and because what he has done that we come to our God and Father. This is sweet. This is wonderful truth to the child of God who's burdened by their sin and knows their sin. I am the way. A way is a path. It's really a track. It's from one place to another. It's from where we are to where the Father is. That way. Jesus says, I am the way. We are in this state, our sinful state, fallen as sinners. There is one way to the Father. That's the way he provided in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus' words imply that the entire human race, of which we are a part, is separated from God. God declares in his word that every man, woman, and child is fallen from God. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are aliens from God. We are without hope in the world because we are separated of ourselves from God. Paul says in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I, says the Bible, says God, says Jesus, you and I of ourselves are not with God. We are fallen sinners. The Bible explains that that's because of Adam's sin. Jesus Christ taught that the world was made by God in the beginning. And as you know, the book of Genesis teaches us that God made Adam and then his wife Eve, and they lived in paradise. There was no sin. They knew God. They glorified God. They walked with God. They were at peace with God. He was in a relationship to God. He was made a living soul. He talked with God. He served God. But Adam sinned. He disobeyed God. He said what Pharaoh said, who is the Lord, that I should obey him. When he fell, he became not only guilty for his sin, but his nature became changed. So that Romans 8, verse 7 says that our nature is now enmity against God. And so we are separated because we are sinners. And a sinner is one who does not love God in his heart, but loves himself. And in those sins, we are separated from our God, from God. The problem that we have as human beings is not bad choices. It's an evil, fallen nature. The problem in our life tonight is not others. It's ourselves, our own pride. The way that we act sinfully and selfishly and carnally is not because of our culture. It's not because of our DNA. But the Bible says, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Salvation is not for us to learn more appropriate responses. Salvation means that we must be reconciled to God. The sin issue has to be dealt with. There must be a way to bring us to God. Jesus says, I am that way. No one comes to the holy God but by me. He's talking of his wonderful cross. Jesus is the way to the Father because of two things. The Bible teaches us in so many ways, that first of all, it was because of Jesus' sinless life. The Bible says that God chose us to be in Jesus Christ, and he gave his Son to represent us on earth and to live on earth and to obey the law of God that we have broken. Jesus' sinless life, it was Adam's sinful life that brought upon us destruction and our own sinful life. We have broken the law. But God has given Jesus Christ to represent us, and he kept that law. He loved the Lord his God. He kept it perfectly in our place, his sinless life. Because we are in him, is imputed unto us. But it's not only his obedient life that he obeyed God in our place, but it was his sin-bearing death. For again, the scripture teaches us that on the cross, God transferred our guilt, our sins, from us unto his Son. He transferred that guilt, the guilt of all those whom he had chosen to be in Jesus Christ. He placed it upon his own Son. Isaiah 53, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. And so Jesus is the way. And no man comes to the Father because it's his sinless life as the Son of God in our flesh. And it's his bearing our sins upon the cross and washing those sins away. That's the way. That's the only way, but that is the way to the Father. There's one path that leads to life, and that's Jesus Christ. And the grace of God to belong to him and to be given to him. That's the truth of Holy Scripture. That's the truth that comes from the lips of him whom God sent. I am the way. Children, do you remember that when Jesus was upon the cross, and he had cried out the words, "It is finished," as he had suffered for our sins. And then he gave up the ghost. He gave his soul to God, and his head fell upon his shoulders, and he died. Do you remember what happened the moment he died for us? The rocks around Calvary were rent. They cracked. The graves of many saints were opened. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Matthew chapter 27 tells us that veil, you remember the veil? The priests could not go behind except with the behind that veil, for behind that veil was the most holy place. He could only go there with blood. When Jesus died, the hands of God tore that veil right in half, saying that through the life of his sinless Son and through his atoning death, the way has been opened for us through Jesus into the very presence of God, to Father's house, to God's own embrace. Jesus is the way. Do you know that way? Do you know it by the gift of a faith in Jesus Christ? Do you mourn your sin? Not are we experts about other people's sins. Do you know yours? Do you see the futility of trusting in yourself? That it's not a question of how much doctrine you know. Yes, love loves doctrine of Jesus. But that doesn't bring us to the Father. It's not if, well, Reverend, I'm really pretty satisfied with myself. At this point in my life, I got everything together. I'm a Christian. Do you know yourself as one lost in sin? And do you know that you cannot have a moment peace without Jesus Christ, his sinless life for you, and his sin-bearing death? There are not 10 ways to heaven. There are not many religious beliefs that all ultimately are the same. And we're all going to end up in the same place. You pick. You pick your own way. You pick what works for you. Jesus did not say, I am a way among others. He said, I am the way. That's his gospel. He's exclusive. No trust, no hope in anything but Jesus, but perfect hope and trust in Jesus. But we asked the question, and the disciples asked the question, how can we know? How can we know that what Jesus is saying here is truth? How do we know that? There are many other people, more and more, as we hear it every day, there's many religions that people say, well, this religion is true, or this spiritual cocktail that I put together, this gives you the key to peace. And there are others who are saying, well, yes, Jesus, he made a significant contribution. He's very important person, but he's not the way. There's other things that we have to add. There's other things that other people have to do for us. How do we know that what Jesus says here is the truth? And he answers that. I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the truth. As emphatically as he is the way, so emphatically Jesus is the truth. Truth is reality. Truth is that which is contrary to the lie. Jesus is the truth. He speaks the truth. His word, which the Bible tells us was inspired by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, his word speaks the truth, not a truth, not a truth among many other truths, the truth. He is the truth. He alone can speak to us truth. And so he makes another emphatic statement. I am the truth. Not a truth. Not a possible view. Not take me into consideration when you're forming your world and life view, your spiritual journey. What you want to believe, pick and choose from the shelf, and don't forget Jesus, he's on the shelf too. No, no, I am the truth. Now why does he say, I am the truth? Well, he says he's the truth because he's God's son. As he explained to Philip, who has seen me has seen the Father. Why are you asking Philip to show the Father? You've seen me, I am. And the Father is in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's God's Son. He's God. And God is truth. God is the author of truth. God is the source of truth. God is the discerner of truth. God is truth. And therefore, truth is that which is consistent with the mind of Jesus and with the will of Jesus and with the word of Jesus, because he's the Son of God. He is the truth. But more, he has seen the Father. He has been with the Father. And so the scriptures say that Jesus Christ in the flesh, as we see him in the scriptures, is the revelation of God's truth. The scriptures tell us that the whole truth of God is represented in Jesus Christ. And still more, he's the truth, as I said, because as the Son of God, as God, he inspired the Holy Scripture. And therefore, when he speaks and when he teaches us the way to the Father, he's not a prophet. He is not a prophet. He is the prophet. There is no other prophet but Jesus. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the truth. The mouth of God spoke that. The mouth of God is speaking. But then he's the truth one more way. And this is the most beautiful way of all. He's the truth because he's God, he's seen God, he's inspired the Holy Scriptures. But he's the truth in a greater sense. He is the one who reveals himself to you and me. He is the one who makes us know the truth. Why do we believe in him and know him? Because he's the truth who has revealed the truth to us. He opens the eyes of the blind. They that sit in darkness, remember the Old Testament prophecies of the coming of Jesus. They that sit in darkness have seen a great light. God has shined into our hearts to give us the knowledge of salvation through the face of Jesus Christ. He's the one who by grace opens our hearts. And so we believe. We know. Through the testimony of Jesus Christ, the truth of God, and because of his work of grace, the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we know the way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. He gives us to know that by his wonderful work of faith. He implants in our hearts as a dead sinner faith, which I said is, first of all, a knowledge of our sin. But it's a knowledge of God's love through Jesus Christ. And it is a union to him. That gift of faith is a union to Jesus Christ. And therefore, when that faith is present in our life, we are submissive to his word. We follow his word. We do his word. Faith, therefore, means that gift of faith means that we surrender ourselves, that we direct ourselves no more after ourselves, but after him who has died for us. And therefore, by faith, we know the truth, a faith that looks to Jesus. And when I say faith looks to Jesus, I don't mean physically. We can't see him now. I don't mean a picture. I don't mean a piece of stained glass, something depicting him. I mean faith. We walk by faith. I mean faith, that gift of God whereby we see him. We see him in this Holy Scripture. That's why when the Holy Spirit is present, The Word of God. The Word of God. We love the Word of God. We read it and we see Him, our Savior and our Lord. We see Him bearing our sins upon the cross. We see Him risen. We stand in awe of Him. And we know the way to the Father is Jesus. And we know it because He's the truth. But if we are to come to the Father, I am the way, I reconcile you. I am the truth, I reveal this to you. But if we are to come to the Father, for to come to the Father is fellowship. It's trust. It's love for God. It's adoring God. It's trembling before God. It's wanting not to displease Him. It's wanting to confess and serve Him. To come to God is a relationship. But for that relationship, I need life. And I don't have spiritual life of myself. And so Jesus is not only the one who has reconciled me to God, the way. He is not only the one who has revealed God to me, the truth. But He is also the life. He is the life imparted to me. And in that life, I have fellowship with God. In that life, I want to have fellowship with God. In that life, I want to go to heaven when I die. And now on earth, I want to please Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to have fellowship with Him. Because of that life of Jesus in me, I go to Him in my needs. And so Jesus says the third thing, and He says it emphatically again. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And again, He's not speaking of physical life there. That's true. As God, He upholds us in our physical life. But spiritual life, I'm the living one, He says. And He's going to go on in John 14 to talk about His resurrection and of the fact that when He is risen, we will be risen with Him. And so Paul will say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We are alive in Christ because by His grace, He has implanted that life, that non-dying life in us. He is the life. And I go to the Father in that life. And I pray to Him. And I respond to God. And in that life, when I have sinned against Him, I feel that I have offended my God. And I cry out to Him that He might restore me to the joy of that fellowship. I live for His smile. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is everything. No one else can do this for you and me. No other religion, no works of mine, no other isms, Jesus only. He is the Savior, the only Savior of men and women, none other. Apart from Him, we would perish. That may be offensive, and it is offensive to the pride of men. It's not offensive to faith. It is sweet. It is true. It is real. If we say to God, well, Yes, gospel of grace, that's a good thing to talk to people, but Reverend, I don't commit adultery. I never killed. I'm a good person. I'm a decent guy. That should be good enough. That's good enough. Then we are saying, and that person is saying, I can make it myself to God. Or if we say, well, we were born in the church, or if we look to anything of ourselves, then we're being the Pharisee. The Pharisees were offended by Jesus because Jesus hit them in their pride. And pride says, Jesus, I have something to tell you, Jesus. You didn't need to come. You really didn't need to go to these extremes, to be born and to die and to rise again on the cross. Very nice gesture on your part. Thank you for the thought. But I could do it without you. That's what pride is. No. Jesus is my way, my truth, and my life. His blood made the way. His grace revealed the truth. His life made me alive. There are millions who have not yet heard this gospel. And this is why it must burn in us to preach and teach this gospel. But tonight I want to bring to us the truth that this gospel has been revealed to us by His grace, by His providence, revealed to you. Do you believe? Do you believe, yes, by a work of God in your heart, but do you believe? Does your heart say, this is tedious, this is tiresome, this is boring? Or do you believe in Him? And do we walk in submission to Him? And do we sing of Him? And do we confess Him before others? And do we, through faith in Jesus, embrace the Father and bow upon our knees before the Father? And do we hear His words? Hear His words tonight. Hear them. All that come to the Father through me shall not be cast out. That's sweet. That's wonderful. That's my comfort. Amen. We thank Thee for the gospel. We thank Thee for the good news of Jesus Christ. We understand now why it can't be good news until the heart has been convicted of its own sin and pride. Make it good news to our hearts. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We come to the Father through Him. In Jesus' name, amen.